Afternoons with Pepper Hudson.
Pepper Hudson.
And now, Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have Wendy with us on the line for the remainder of this hour to talk to you about consumer affairs, including Black Friday. Wendy, welcome to the show as always.
Good to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, obviously, Black Friday, one of the biggest shopping days of the year, and it's just around the corner. Wendy has a lot of advice to share with us today on how to shop more savvily. But before we get to any of that, firstly, let me remind you that if you're phoning in with a question, the number to dial is 021-446-0567. You're also welcome to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567 or to send an SMS to 31567. Before we do any of that, though, Wendy, we've got some follow-up on last week's show. We were talking about consumers' right to access the recordings of calls when they've entered into telephonic contracts. And we told our listeners last week about the case of Juliet Maguire, whose contract for data with Vodacom ended up being not what she thought she'd agreed to. And you had a second case study this week also involving a Vodacom customer in a similar situation, didn't you?
Absolutely. So to start off with that second case, Fazana Budger of Cape Town was called by someone saying that they were from Vodacom, she says, offering her a free dongle. She said she didn't want it at first, but eventually she accepted the deal on the understanding that it was free. A Wi-Fi dongle and a SIM card were then delivered to her, and she activated neither, just left them there. But then she noticed that her Vodacom cell phone bill was higher than usual, and that's how she discovered that she'd acquired a second contract related to that free dongle. And she's been trying ever since, 3 months, to get that contract cancelled and return the dongle with no success, phoning the call centre, even going into one of their walk-in stores, promises to cancel and uplift, but nothing. So the company which Vodacom uses to sell some of its contracts telephonically, Mondo, claimed that they listened to her call and that she had agreed to an additional 36-month contract, not even 2 years, 3 years. Yeah. She disputes this and says that she hasn't been given access to those recordings.
Okay, now Wendy, last week before we went to air, I know you'd already reached out to Vodacom and they hadn't been able to get back to us in time for that show. Have you had a response from them since then?
Yes, I got a two-in-one response. So from about Juliet's case and Fazana's as well. Vodacom would like to make it clear, they said in a statement yesterday, that it does not condone dishonest behavior by agents or business partners affiliated with the company. In instances where misconduct is found, appropriate action will be taken, including the imposition of penalties. In this case, our records show that Ms. Maguire accepted an offer for an additional 2 gigabytes of data for the fixed amount of $169, which was loaded onto her monthly Vodacom bill. In the case of Ms. Budger, the sale was intended to replace an old contract with a new one. That doesn't actually make sense.
No.
Anyway, Vodacom has reviewed the recordings and has taken the decision to cancel both contracts with no additional costs. I should think not. We would like to apologize for the manner in which the call recording requests were handled. This is not in line with the standards we seek to achieve from a customer service level perspective.
This is very fishy. I mean, they said they're prepared to cancel both of those contracts, which to me implies that they know everything is not above board.
Yeah,
but at the same time,
misrepresentation.
Yeah, they're not refunding the people who are out of pocket.
Okay, there's been a slight update on that. First of all, in Juliet's case, when she realized that she was being stonewalled when it came to getting access to the call recording, which would prove that she was misled into agreeing to it, she gave her tablet to a struggling student, and the data that she was paying for every month with it. So that will be cancelled. There has been use of that contract, though, so there will be no refund.
Okay.
But in Fazana's case, I pointed out late yesterday that a refund was most definitely in order, and they've come back to me today to say, yes, absolutely, we will refund, and she's been profusely apologized to you and all the rest. But that was a really bad case. Fazana's one.
Well, well done, Wendy. That's fantastic news for Fazana and fantastic news for consumers that it's worth fighting these
things.
Even
there's
when
there's been a third one actually.
Okay.
Pippa, that I haven't mentioned you, but we won't go into now because we want to go into Black Friday. But someone else is getting R7,000 back.
Fantastic. Oh, well
someone
done.
Someone who listened to the show last week and then phoned in.
That's great. That's great to hear. I mean, the bottom line, just to remind everybody again, is you have the right to ask to receive those recordings. We heard that from the ombudsman. it last week, saying they do believe consumers should have the right to listen to them. And we also, as we pointed out last week, suggested that you think about recording your conversations of this kind when you're dealing with companies. And Wendy, a couple of listeners phoned in during and after the show last week recommending apps you can use for that purpose. I just want to repeat the three that were recommended to us were ACR, AndroRec, and hashtag record my call. So if you would like to keep track for yourself of what you've engaged with on a telephonic contract negotiation as such, those might be of good help. So, okay, fantastic. We'll draw a line under the telephone contracts for now, because we do need to move on to Black Friday, but happy to take any further comments on that one as well. I mean, Black Friday, Wendy, it's next Friday. 24th of November is the big day. But yes. I believe some of the retailers are making it a bit of a week-long business this year.
Making it a big week, not just a big day.
Okay.
Why just score on one day when you can drag it out for a week or even a month? I heard an advert for Black Friday month earlier this week. Yes.
Okay. I mean, let's just talk about where this comes from, because up until a couple of years ago, it just wasn't a thing in South Africa. You've had experience, I believe, of the actual Thanksgiving Black Friday in the USA.
I have, because I have a sister who lives in Colorado. Mm. So yes, in the US, Black Friday is always the day after Thanksgiving Thursday, when retailers kick off the festive season with massive discounts, the black being a reference to turning a profit. Okay. Of course, a lot of consumers go into the red as a result of Black Friday. But yeah, it's all about boosting trade and profits for the retailers. So yes, I experienced one in a massive mall in Colorado where my sister lives, a good few years ago now, maybe 6 years ago. And what an experience. We spent 7 to 8 hours, I think, there as the snow was bucketing down outside. And what blew me away was the unbelievable friendliness and patience of every single person I came across who was working on that day in that mall and all the various stores and in the restaurants, etc. And almost like they'd been, I don't know, hypnotized or something. I just couldn't believe that I didn't find anyone who was vaguely rattled, in spite of all the pandemonium. So very impressive. But here's the thing, Pippa. In the US, you don't find tinsel and Christmas ornaments and goodies, Christmas cakes, or whatever, in stores until Black Friday. It's an absolute thing that Christmas, all the merchandising and everything, only starts after Black Friday. But our supermarkets and other stores, on the other hand, malls, start the festive season with mince pies and Christmas decorations in early October, if not late September. Yeah. Which makes for me Black Friday in this country at the end of November just another promotion with a peculiar name.
It is. I mean, it is. I think August is the earliest I have seen a Christmas tree go up, and that was at a Checkers branch a long time ago.
That's a record.
It was ridiculous. But okay, that's interesting. So there it is, a separate event completely as a sort of promotional day. It is ring-fenced, and then Christmas happens afterwards. Here we're already into the Christmas season frenzy. Let's talk a little bit about how big it is here. I mean, up until, as I said, a couple of years ago, we hadn't heard the term Black Friday in South Africa at all. You know, occasionally you would meet somebody who'd come back from a visit to the US mentioning what they'd seen and the bargains that they'd got. But then all of a sudden it was here. And I think it's probably at least 5 years now that this has been growing in stature in South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. For those people who don't shop online, the first they would have really sensed of it in this country was in 2014 when Checkers embraced it.
Yes.
And suddenly, sorry, was it 2014? Yes, 3 years ago. But for those who do the online shopping thing, well, they'll know that it was Takealot who first did the Black Friday thing in this country in 2011. But it wasn't, as I say, until 2015 that significant numbers of South Africans got swept up in the whole Black Friday frenzy. Absa reported that card spend on Black Friday that year, 2015, increased by 81% compared to the average day throughout the year. So you can imagine, and we've since said last year and now this year, it's you can imagine that spike is going to be that much greater.
Now, I know you actually caught up with Takealot earlier in this week to chat to them about what they're doing this year. Wendy, can you give us an overview of what to expect?
Absolutely. So I travelled to Joburg on Monday to their warehouse. It's bigger than four soccer fields, by the way, and there's a same size one in Cape Town.
Gosh.
I got to speak to founder and CEO Kim Reed there. He says 15,000 products will be discounted starting on the 24th of November in general, most being less than 60% off the normal price tag, and some as much as 70% or 80% off. So they will build up to Black Friday, though, from this coming Monday with app-only exclusive deals. So for those obviously trying to entice people to download the app onto their phones. And they'll go through to that big Bonanza Day on the 24th, then through the weekend, next weekend, followed by Cyber Monday, just for good measure, Take a Lot Tuesday.
Okay, so it's a 9-day Black Friday we're talking about, effectively. Okay, it's extraordinary. I mean, 70%, 80% off. I'm always skeptical when I hear claims like that, because, and I think everybody is, you think, oh, they've shot the prices up artificially beforehand and then taken 80% off what was already an inflated price. Are we correct to be slightly skeptical?
Okay, I think it's... If ever you're going to get a really good bargain, a price slashed, it is going to be on Black Friday. But amidst the genuine bargains, you're going to get the fabricated ones. So for those who haven't done their homework and don't know what a product usually sells for, yeah, you could be open to be caught up in the frenzy, take an 80% off claim at face value, and not get quite the bargain you thought you were getting.
Okay, so the message, therefore, is number one, do your homework and make sure you know what you're shopping for. I mean, do you sort of motivate for really deciding, going in with a shopping list to say, I'm going to buy XYZ, I'm looking specifically for a pair of black high-heeled shoes in a size 4, and I'm going to find it and know up front what brands go at what prices?
Exactly. So it's the people who know exactly what they want, are waiting for Black Friday to buy it, who know exactly what it usually sells for, and either goes online at midnight on you know, the 24th, Black Friday morning, or goes into a store if that's where it's available, and ignores all the hype and the frenzy and all the other, you know, buy me's, and goes just for that product.
Okay, so do your homework is the bottom line. Then in terms of looking out for scams, Wendy, I know obviously where retailers jump on the bandwagon, so do the con artists, and they try to insert themselves into the frenzy. And now more than any time, you should be really mindful of where you're shopping and how you're buying.
Absolutely. So, yeah, look, if you're going online, it's to know, you know, how to, you know, which sites to go on, to know how to protect yourself, and, you know, look for the secure sites with the https://, and yeah, just to be aware that there could be some, as this hype goes, there could be the, you know, the chances of there being fake sites and scamsters out there ready to pounce and to take advantage of those who are swept up in the hype. I think this year we really need to be on the lookout for that. So go to trusted sites and have your wits about you when you're transacting.
Okay. And then important, I think, to note that the normal rules of the Consumer Protection Act will apply to something that you've bought, even if you've bought it at an 80% discount on the particular day. You still have all your rights to return it if it's defective.
Absolutely. So if it's defective is the key word there, Pippa. So stores do have the right to refuse to take back non-defective items, your so-called change of heart purchases, if there's nothing wrong with them. So that's the norm on any day, and they can then say, okay, it's Black Friday, you did buy it on a massive sale, we're not taking it back. But if something goes wrong with the product, you have the normal rights, the full protection of the Consumer Protection Act, and you have 6 months then to return it if it's defective, if it proves to be defective, for your choice of a refund, replacement or repair.
Okay. And just to take us to the news headlines, firstly a question and then some stats. The question is, if you're using an app to record phone calls, are you obliged to inform the other party that you're recording?
It depends what you intend to do with the recording, but I think the short answer is yes, tell them. They've told you they're recording you, so there's nothing to stop you from saying, and thank you very much, and that's good to know, because I'm making my own recording, so we're both well sorted. Thank you very much.
Okay, just to cover yourself, be safe. Okay, yes. And then just to take us to the news, you've got some of the stats on turnover of sales on Black Friday the last couple of years. I know you also spoke to Zando. For them, it's been a big winner. It's brought in a lot of new customers to their online platform who weren't shopping online before. But the numbers are extraordinary. So you said 2011, Takealot did 1 million rand in sales on Black Friday. That figure was up to 3 million rand by 2012.
Tripled the following year.
And by last year? I don't even know. I'm almost too scared to ask.
2015, it was 17 million.
Yeah.
Last year, that 17 million went up to 56 million. And this year, Kim Reid, the CEO, predicts that their takings will be anything from 90 million to 130 million. So they are looking very likely to go over 100 million, which is staggering when you think in 2011 they did 1 million.
That is extraordinary. Okay, so go in well informed and well prepared on Black Friday. And I mentioned the black high-heeled sandals as a random excuse, but I'm actually seeing a note here, Wendy, that Zando sold out of black high-heeled sandals in the first hour of sales last year on Black Friday.
Having 500 pairs. They were actually in flats, but yes. Okay. They reduced them from 200 rand to 70 rand and they just flew out.
Stock ran out fast. So be prepared and be prepared to go in early as well.
Talk. Consumer Talk. Call us now on 021-446-0567.
Couple of questions coming in regarding Black Friday shopping, which we'll tackle next. But just a reminder that this part of the show is an open line where you can phone in with any consumer query. 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. You can also leave a voice note on 072-567-1567 or send an SMS to 31567. A question from Vicky asking, please ask your guest which safe apps to download for Black Friday. I wonder if she's meaning payment procedures, Wendy. Any advice for Vicky?
I actually don't know what she means. I would certainly if I had a credit card, that's what I would use, because if you don't get what you paid for, you can apply for what's known as chargeback, which is an international credit card protection, and it essentially means that your bank gets hold of their bank, the merchant's bank, and thereby gets your money back. So that's why a lot of people feel it's, you know, for some reason, many South Africans, we discussed this on another show, Pippa, many South Africans have some security fears around credit cards, but they're actually, for that reason, I would say use a credit card. You have that protection. You don't have it if you pay by EFT or other forms of payment. So that would be my advice. Some of the bigger retailers, like the two we mentioned earlier, Takealot, Zando, they do offer cash on delivery, because a lot of people who are buying online for the first time feel very nervous, and they like to be able to know that they can pay only when they get what
they actually have
delivered to
them.
And then by the time they've done their second or third purchase online, then they with the same company, then they start being happy to pay with a credit card or EFT or whatever.
Okay, so you have
I would say
option.
Normal. This is just another retail day.
Yeah.
You know, normal rules apply.
Well, that's actually really important. Normal rules apply, and normal awareness of how much money is actually in your bank account should apply as well. It's not an excuse to go and run up massive amounts of credit that you can't actually afford. I always say the great special that 80% off is not free. It's you're not paying just the 20% for it. It's the 20% more than you would otherwise have paid.
If you don't pay anything, that's 100% saving. Yeah. Maybe some of us should be shooting for that. But Pippa, I must say, I mean, we're going rah-rah Black Friday, and as I say, for those that are very targeted and focused, it's fantastic. But when you start looking at a spike of 81% in card use, and that was in 2015, as a consumer journalist who gets the emails in January when the wheels have come off, I mean, it was bad enough before we had Black Friday when it was just Christmas.
Yeah.
Now we start running up our credit cards in payday November before we've, and then we get paid on the 15th. End of January is a very long way away. And there's so many, everything goes up, all our insurance premiums, there's school fees. I don't want to be grincher, but really it's, we need to have our wits about us and not get caught up and not feel, you know, FOMO if we don't go mad. And, you know, I think it's also, I suppose, a status thing. If you're going into stores and swiping you've got adverts on TV, just swipe, you know, really, I find that quite troubling in the economy that we're in.
And the shoes are going to pinch when you, the cost you spent in them can't go to the school stationery bill in January, for example. Good advice. Thank you. Also, just a reminder that you mentioned that, check that the site you're buying on is a reputable one. And maybe just about what Vicky might have been asking is you need to look for the HTTPS, the S indicating security, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, thanks for that.
It's colon forward slash. /. So look out for that before you even start looking at what you want to buy.
Okay. Then an interesting comment here on the WhatsApp line saying, at normal month-end shopping, I usually purchase certain quantities for the whole month. And last year on Black Friday at Checkers, I was restricted from purchasing in those quantities and told there was a limit to the number you could buy that day. I asked to be sold the products in question at their normal price and was told it couldn't be done. I haven't been back to Checkers since. And the question is this in line with the Consumer Act?
There is nothing in the Act, as far as I'm aware, that prohibits the restricting of the number of items that can be sold. They could argue that it is a promotion and therefore, you know, it's they want to be able to ensure that as many people benefit from the special as possible. I hear her, though, because her normal habit is to buy, I don't know what sort of bulk she's talking about or how big her family is, but I can understand her annoyance at then being told, you know, well, even if you pay the full price, we're not interested. We're restricting the number of items you can buy on this day. But, you know, my answer would be it's free enterprise. There are other stores where she is welcome to go. And as she says, she's so annoyed that she hasn't gone back to that store. And that's her choice as a consumer. But as far as I'm aware, and I'm pretty sure on this, there's nothing illegal about them restricting the number of items that can be bought under those
circumstances. Then an SMS saying, I bought an iPad on Takealot. They sent me the wrong one twice and then said the one that I actually want is not in stock. Am I entitled to a refund?
Yes, absolutely. They were unable to deliver. She paid for something and didn't get it. We speak a lot on this show about you have the right of return if something is defective. But many stores, both bricks and mortar and your online stores, will as a customer service take goods back even if they are not defective, so your change of heart returns. So for example, Takealot will take back something even if there's nothing wrong with it within 7 days, as long as obviously it's in its packaging and they can resell it, etc. So certainly if in a case like this, where she was sent the wrong one and now they can't deliver, definitely there should be no quibble. The fact that she's SMS'd in suggests that perhaps she has had some pushback, but so if she has, I'm very happy to take that case up, but she shouldn't have a problem being refunded.
Okay.
And she must insist on a refund, not just a credit to her account or something like that. If she paid for something they were unable to deliver, then she's entitled to her money back.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's one of the things I've been meaning to ask you for weeks now. When are you obliged to accept a credit to your account in lieu of a complete refund?
If they're taking back something that they're not obliged to take back. So if it's a change of heart purchase, you've bought the pair of shoes without trying them on, or the pants or the whatever, and for whatever reason that the item is perfectly fine, there's nothing wrong with it, but you don't want it anymore, then they get to determine the terms and conditions of that. So they can say we'll only accept it back within 30 days or 7 days or whatever, and we're not going to give you your money back. We will credit you or credit your account or whatever. So in other words, they don't lose the sale completely, and they're perfectly within their rights to do that when you consider that they don't have a legal obligation to take that non-defective item back at all. And I think this is the most misunderstood thing by consumers, because, as I said, so many stores do take back non-defective items as a goodwill gesture, as a customer service. Many consumers have acquired this understanding or this misperception that it's their right to take back anything and to get their money back. And that only applies to the return of defective goods. So I do say this a lot, but only because my inbox tells me that it is still the most misunderstood section of the Act and the one that applies to most of us most of the time.
Okay, thanks for repeating in that case. Right, let's go to the lines. A reminder that you can call in on 021-446-0567. Craig has done exactly that from Oz. Craig, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, ladies. I've just got a quick question. We bought a part from Suzuki Kenilworth for a vehicle, and a month later, less than a month, the part doesn't work. So I phoned the salesman at Suzuki, I spoke to the manager, even the dealer principal. None of them are interested in even taking the part back to have it checked for a claim. They just say their policy, if it's not fitted by Suzuki, there's no guarantee.
Wendy? That's an interesting one. I'm hesitating because of the not fitted by Suzuki.
But it was fitted by a RMI approved workshop by a qualified auto electrician.
No, I don't think they have a leg to stand on there. Unfortunately, the automotive industry can be very high-handed when it comes to the Consumer Protection Act. I'm working on a story involving just that at the moment, especially when it comes to automotive parts. You'll often find signs in those stores saying something like no returns on electrical on items or whatever. Yeah. I've written about this a lot. That's absolutely without any legal standing. The CPA applies to the purchase of those parts. They are entitled to test the part to ascertain whether it was a defect as claimed or whether there was some kind of user abuse or miss, you know, if it was not fitted properly or whatever. But they cannot, as a blanket rule, say we do not take back the parts.
No,
absolutely
they just
not.
Me to Joburg. I must deal with Joburg because they're not interested. Even the dealer principal, Chris Coburn, he's not worried. He's just passing it off to Joburg.
Okay. Well, if you wanted, email me about that. I'm very happy to take it up with him if I can have an email address for the company involved, just to save me some time. Because this is very common and it's not okay and it's not endorsed by the Motor Industry Ombudsman or any of the other regulators.
Okay, Craig, so without further ado, let's give you that email address. You can contact Wendy on consumer@nola.co.za, and that's spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R, consumer@nola.co.za. Two things we ask. One is that you put the words Cape Talk in the subject line, and the second is that you just give a word or two to describe what the issue is. So in your case, Craig, just send a mail that says Cape Talk, follow up on Suzuki part, or something like that. So Wendy will know to look out for it and see it in her inbox and hopefully get some resolution for you on that one. And we really do hope you come right. Thanks for your call. Next on the line is Daniel in Durbanville. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in a retirement village and we have to buy a certain amount of meal vouchers per month. But they say those vouchers are only valid for a 3-month period. I know that's not strictly in terms of the CPA, and I think the CPA limits vouchers to about 2 or 3 years or something like that. Is there any dispensation for this particular situation where the meals are provided by the retirement home?
That's a very interesting question, Daniel. You're right. The CPA says that any prepaid device, coupon, voucher, whatever, should be redeemable for up to 3 years. Originally, the bill made provision for 5 years, but various sectors of industry said, no, that's ridiculous, so they've settled on 3. In your case, with a meal voucher, you are paying for them up front, right? It's not part of what you pay for monthly for your stay in the facility, is it?
No, not at all. We have levies, and then in order to cater for people who cannot cook their own meals, we've got a caterer in, but to make it viable for them, each resident, each household has to buy 3 of those tickets per month sort of thing.
Three booklets or something?
Actually 3 meals per month. That's all.
Oh, is that all?
You can't carry it on.
I don't see any justification for that, Daniel, at all. I'm thinking of what it's reminding me of, but it's a different situation, was last year and this year when various disruptions at UCT meant that, you know, and the kitchen staff were on strike, they couldn't provide the meals to the students whose parents had obviously paid
for
the meals.
Yes.
And so they issued them with meal vouchers or vouchers from the local pick and pays and whatever. And one of the fathers got hold of me to say that they were only valid for a few weeks, and he was upset about that, and he brought in CPA, and I took it up with his UCT, who gave me a very considered response, and that was a different situation because it wasn't a sort of a prepaid meal voucher in the strict sense, and that it was a compensation thing given an extraordinary circumstance, and then once the kitchens were open again, they didn't need them anymore. Yes. So, but your case is very different, Daniel, in that the meal voucher is bought for that specific purpose as an extra. There's absolutely no justification for them to then say they're not redeemable. What sort of expiry date are they putting on them?
They're putting about a 6-month expiry date. But when do you not also read something about if there is justification and there's price increase that the period can be less, or is that just a figment of my imagination?
Sorry, would you repeat that, Daniel?
Yeah, I seem to recall reading somewhere that if you were buying something and the price of that article rose up quite exponentially. It was unreasonable to expect them to pay.
Okay, thank you for that question. What has happened is that industries such as the beauty industry have adapted. So whereas in the past they would issue a voucher for a facial, for example, or a massage, now, because understandably if someone presents that voucher 3 years down the line, the price of that service will have gone up. What they're doing to accommodate that and to be so that they don't lose out is to issue it in a monetary value, which is a little bit difficult if you're presenting it as a gift. It can be a bit awkward, but that's what they're advised to do, so that the only person who loses out on late presentation would be the consumer and not the service provider. So there are ways around that. They cannot say due to price increases they won't they can't honor it after a certain date, because they need to change their practices to fit in with the CPA's requirement that it's redeemable for 3 years.
So Daniel, if you like, you're most welcome to take the podcast of this conversation and play it for your retirement village managers and let them hear Wendy's feedback. So look for the podcast on the Facebook page or on the Cape Talk website, or where we tweet it on the Twitter feed, and you're most welcome to use that as evidence in your battle, and good luck to you. Thanks for the call. Dennis has been holding very patiently on the line from Pinelands. Dennis, good afternoon. Dennis, are you still there? One more try for Dennis in Pinelands. Okay, we'll put it back on hold. I'll ask Amy to keep on calling and see if we can get him back to the phone. In the meantime, Andrew in Kenilworth, hello to you.
Hi there, good day. How are you doing?
Well, thanks. And yourself?
Good, thank you. I've got a quick question. Basically, I bought a second-hand vehicle. I found out it was a write-off a couple of months afterwards. I've returned the vehicle back to the people that I bought it from. And I would like to know, like, what is my right in terms of getting all my money back? Because they're stipulating the use of the vehicle and everything like that, so they're going to deduct off that. But it wasn't the case of me trying to return the vehicle for a different type. I wasn't happy with it. It was written off and it was sold to me under the pretenses of a secondhand vehicle.
Okay, first question, Andrew. You said you bought it from people. Was it a private sale or did you buy the vehicle from a dealership?
It was a reputable dealership.
Okay, that's certainly in your favor, because if it's a private sale, the CPA doesn't apply. So it's pretty much a foot steal, apart from your common law rights. But with a dealership, you definitely have protection there. Is it within 6 months of purchase still?
Yes, I bought the vehicle in February, found out that it had accident damage in about, say, March, April. And then from there, they were like, how do we know you didn't have the accident? And now I had to trace the previous owner. And then I found out I got all the letters and pictures that it was written off and everything like that. But I'm still fighting the case and trying to get, they're saying, well, we will have
Do you happen to know the code when it was? How was it sold? Was it sold on auction?
It was sold as a code 2.
Okay, well that's okay, because a code 2 is fine. A code 2 just means it's a second-hand vehicle, and that it wasn't. Yeah. You know, the chassis was not so damaged as to make it. So that it can't be sold as a car and licensed as a car again. So that's something. But I would say certainly that was gross lack of disclosure. Nobody would willingly buy a car that had, not at a completely discounted rate to take that into account. If you want to, we won't mention the dealership now on air, but if you'd like to write to me about that, these sorts of cases are ones that involving cars are ones that I specialize in. So I would be very happy to take up that case for you. And if you could provide me with that evidence, that would be brilliant.
Okay, Andrew, once again, the email address is consumer@nola.co.za, and please put Cape Talk secondhand vehicle purchase or something similar in your subject line. Okay, thanks for that, Wendy. Thanks for offering to help. I'm going to try again to see if we've got Dennis. No, we have lost Dennis in Pinelands altogether now, I think. So we'll move on to another call. Interesting one here. Somebody phoned while we were chatting to Andrew, wanting to know if there's any update on the Freedom Bakery story, Wendy. It was one of the first ones we tackled a good while ago now, of the bakery products that were claiming to be things that they were not. Have you gotten anywhere further with that one?
No. Yes and no. I haven't done anything further. I have had no further response from the health authorities in Cape Town, which I was rather hoping for. I have a press release has been put out by a topic, which is the testing of products on behalf of consumers. I'm not sure if I got that right, but that's essentially what Topic does. They've issued a press release saying that they actually mentioned our show, but they've done some further testing of their own on products and found the same thing that we did, that the products did contain levels of gluten consistent with wheat. And they've been trying to get a response out of the bakery owner. I'm paraphrasing a very long press release here on the hoof without looking at it. But basically, they haven't had a response from the owner. She's just not responding now. So I think it's fair to say that the evidence is fairly strong now that there is definitely a problem with those products and that they are not what they claim to be.
Okay, we maybe need to put a bit of a gentle push in the direction of the city health authorities for a follow-up on that one.
Yes, and I'm wanting to do a follow-up for one of my print columns as well. So I've definitely not, the story is not over for me. It's, okay. It's an ongoing one.
Okay, thanks for the interest, whoever it was who called in on that one. While we're speaking about the integrity of the things that we put into our body, Errol emailed some time ago asking about water, saying with the current water crisis and the public buying more and more bottled water, how much can we trust the purity of what's in those bottles? Do we know that the water being used is actually good, safe, clean spring or mountain water? Or is it just regular municipal water that's been filtered in some way? Is bottled water safe and is it a rip-off, were his questions.
Well, that's a show all in its own, and maybe we should do that one day. Very, very pertinent for Cape Town. The bottled water industry is regulated in this country. There's a bottled water association, and there are very regulated definitions of the types of water that is sold as bottled water. So if it comes from a municipal source and it's then treated or whatever, it has to say from a municipal source on the bottle.
Yeah.
And if it's treated with reverse osmosis, that needs to be on the bottle. If it's, it says spring water, it should be spring water. There are, every now and then, there will be, scams where people will fill directly from a tap from a municipal source and sell it as spring water, and it has happened. If you Google it, you'll find examples of it. So it's not, I mean, any time where a product is sought after, you're going to find people who will cash in and rip off. But essentially, whether it's a rip off or not is a personal decision. I try not to buy bottled water. For me, there's also the issue of the plastic.
Yep.
You know how I feel about those PET bottles. They can, if you're going to have bottled water, at least make sure that your bottle, when you finish drinking from it, goes into a, gets put somewhere where it's going to be recycled, because they are very much in demand to be recycled. But otherwise, that's really all I can say. Every now and then, some organization will take it upon themselves to test the authenticity. Often it's a competitor, to test the authenticity of a label claim. And we owe it, we owe it to them a debt of gratitude if it is discovered that there's been fraud. But my general advice would be stick with a brand that you trust. If you do want to drink bottled water, and then recycle your bottle. More than that, I can't really say. But we can do a show on it, Pippa, down the line.
Okay.
There is a lot more to be said on the subject, and I think as for Cape Town audience, very relevant.
Absolutely. I've made a note to add it to our list, Wendy. Thanks. Okay. We seem to have a lot of motoring issues today. Let's finish with a motoring question on the WhatsApp line from someone who bought a Kia Sorento from a dealership in December 2015. I drove very little with the car, but after 6 months realized that the functions on the steering wheel had started to malfunction. According to a mechanic, the steering coil was damaged when they fitted new tires on the sale, and during time, over time, it deteriorated until it broke. It's cost me 7,900 rand to replace, and I'd like to know, have I got a case to claim from the dealership?
The dealership who fitted the tires, I wonder if he means there. Who fitted the tires? That's the link I'm not
fitted
quite
on,
sure.
New tires fitted on the sale, so I assume it was fitted at the dealership.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm very mindful of the time, so I haven't got much to play with here, but as always, the burden of proof would then rest on him to be able to prove that is what caused the malfunction of the steering wheel controls. So my advice would be to get whoever it was that made that diagnosis to put it in writing. and to then submit it to the dealership. And if they then still refuse to come to the party on that almost 8,000 Rand, to take it up, to email me and I'll see what I can do. But it's a very interesting one.
Okay. That. Wendy, it's been a fascinating show as always. Thanks for being with us and we'll chat again next week.
Lovely. Thanks, Pippa.
A reminder that you can contact Wendy by sending an email to consumer@nola.co.za. Please put the words Cape Talk in the subject line and one or two descriptor words. And also just a reminder that she has a very, very busy and full inbox. So please don't expect an immediate response. She's not able to help every single person who contacts her, but she really does her best to get through as many of the cases as she can.